This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. It was an unusual year in Congress. At the beginning, Al Gore, who was then vice president, presided over his own defeat when the Electoral College officially certified the election results. After that, Congress passed a large tax cut, only to discover that the projected revenue surplus had vanished. The Senate switched from Republican control to the Democrats. And in one of the most emotional moments, members of both parties gathered outside of the Capitol after the September 11th terrorist attacks to sing God Bless America. NPR's David Wellness says the era of good feelings didn't last long.
I think we could call this maybe a brief interlude of bipartisanship. The year actually started out in a very partisan way. Republicans who had a member of their own party in the White House for the first time in 8 years started off with one of President Bush's top priorities, a massive tax cut that would go on for the next 10 years. It ended up being worth close to $1.7 trillion and was mostly a partisan issue, though some Democrats did vote for it. But there were deep divisions that came out early in the year over that. There was also a lot of confrontation over the nomination of John Ashcroft to be Attorney General. Of course, Ashcroft had been a member of the Senate and of the Judiciary Committee, which considered his nomination, and 42 senators ended up voting against his nomination to be Attorney General. So there was clearly a sharp division back earlier in the year.
The year's most important moment in terms of the balance of power was a decision by one lawmaker to bolt his party.
Given the changing nature of the National Party, it has become a struggle for our leaders to deal with me and for me to deal with them. Indeed, the party's electoral success has underscored the dilemma that I face within the party. In the past, without the presidency, the various wings of the Republican Party in Congress have had some freedom to argue and influence and ultimately to shape the party's agenda. The election of President Bush changed that dramatically.
That was Vermont Senator Jim Jeffords, who up until that moment had been a Republican. He declared himself an independent who would caucus with the Democrats in the Senate. And of course, this shifted the entire balance of power in Congress. Up until then, for the first time in half a century, Republicans had controlled the White House, the House, and the Senate. And Jeffords' defection from a Senate where it was evenly divided between Republicans and Democrats gave Democrats a one-vote majority and shifted the control over to Democrats. And so Democratic Senator Tom Daschle became the new leader of the Senate, and a whole new dynamic took over the Congress where the Senate was no longer under the control of Republicans.
The September attacks gave the Congress a new sense of purpose, inspired some brief bipartisanship, but that didn't last.
No, it didn't. There were initial shows of unity in passing a lot of legislation related to the attacks, bringing money for relief, passing legislation that had been requested by the White House and by the Attorney General. This showed, I think, how much things had changed during the year, that many in Congress seemed very unwilling to confront Attorney General Ashcroft over this legislation, which would have caused months of wrangling, probably, without the attacks. But there were concerns at the same time expressed about what that anti-terrorist legislation would mean for constitutional liberties. Congress never got to the point, though, of passing any laws that would have limited the administration's power for acting against terrorists.
Then there was anthrax in the mail, shutting down the House for the first time since the British burned it.
We decided that probably the best effort for the House of Representatives is to stay in today, do our business, and then adjourn the House tonight and allow members to go home.
That was Speaker of the House Dennis Hastert speaking 2 days after a letter was opened in the office of Senate Majority Leader Tom Daschle that contained anthrax spores. Hastert was saying that the House side of Congress would shut down for the next few days. This is something that he and House Democratic Leader Dick Gephardt took a lot of heat for since the Senate stayed on. But in the end, I think they were vindicated. For one thing, the anthrax spores in that letter turned out to be quite deadly. Two postal workers at the facility that handled the letter ended up dying. There were complaints that the workers on Capitol Hill were getting far better treatment and attention than the postal workers were. They've had Environmental Protection Agency workers going in moon boots and outfits trying to clean the place up, but they still are looking for some way to get that Hart office building where the letter was opened fit for people to work in again.
NPR's David Wellner.